Good night, everybody.
Happy Tuesday to the Ungovernables, the captain's crew, the LFA family, and McGroin Nation, coming to you live from the deep red state of Tennessee on rumble.com/LFATV. This is Ungoverned. Happy Tuesday. It's a special Tuesday, according to the Lung. He posted it in the chat. Happy Tuesday to everybody. Happy. I hope you're all excited to be here. I'm excited to be here. This is going to be a packed one. We got a lot to get to. It's going to be a little all over the place. There's a lot of things, you know, there are articles and whatnot that I wanted to link to. Not enough space in the show. So it's all good. We're going to get to a ton. First off, and look, whether you felt a certain way about what the Democrats are going to do, you know what? How about we do this in the chat? Right? Let's do this in the chat. Well, it's the title of the show, so maybe we won't do this in the chat. Who do you think is going to be the Democrat nominee for president in 2024? Let's see what the chat says. Who do you think is going to be the Democrat nominee for president 2024? Because we have news out of the DNC on who it will be, and that means it's not anybody else. So we will get to that. That's an important story. Now, of course, there are different variables that could go into this, but it looks like it's pretty certain that we will see Joe Biden as the nominee in November 5th, 2024. You see everybody on the chat. People are saying Hillary, not Biden. Pop D does say Biden. Freedom from a Groin says it's going to be Poopy Pants Joe. Yes. And a lot of people are saying Hillary, Newsom, or Pritzker, whoever's still breathing. I think someone just said Baron Donalds for the presidential nominee for the Democrat Party. No, I don't think. I think they might have meant VP. Yeah, yeah. So we have a story out of the DNC that it will be Joe Biden. Now, I understand. Now, the Democrats lie, and you know Joe Biden, he's not going to make it. What if he bombs in the debate? Well, they haven't made the decision yet. But according to this story on Breitbart, and again, according to the story on Breitbart, it's going to be Joe Biden. And I've been following a lot of commentators. I've heard every name in the book. Michelle Obama, also known as Big Mike, you know that. We talk about it. Michael Motorcycle. Yeah, Mike Motorbike. We know. Big Mike. You're not supposed to say that, but sometimes people say it. I think somebody said that to Trump at a rally, and he actually like laughed and was like, ah, Big Mike. Yeah. I'm surprised the mainstream media didn't run with that one. I guess they weren't watching that rally. I know there are people who think it's going to be Michelle Obama. I know there are people who think maybe Hillary's coming back. Gavin Newsom. Andrew Cuomo. That was a... He's been making the rounds, you know, Andrew Cuomo, when I was the governor of New York, we killed your grandma, and you are not allowed to take off your mask, but you must certainly, if you're my intern, take off your clothes. Andrew Cuomo was floated around, Josh Shapiro, Pennsylvania, the new governor, Andy Beshear in Kentucky, but it looks like it's going to be Joe Biden, and you know, I mean, it takes away some of the thrill. Like, ooh, what happened? Who's it going to be? But I'm happy that it's Joe Biden. You know that I've wanted it to be Joe Biden for a while. As a matter of fact, after he made that brutal... Remember that press conference he had where he thought that Egypt was on the border... or Mexico was on the border of Israel? And he got Egypt confused with Mexico? And everyone was like, 25th Amendment! We got to get him out! We don't want him out. You want to run against that guy. Why would you not want to run against this guy? That doesn't mean underestimate him. It doesn't mean, you know, assume that it's going to be a cakewalk. But I'd rather have the guy that keeps crapping himself and is getting lost on stage and is freezing. And Democrats have to continue to make excuse after excuse after excuse about the guy. And I said, no. What you're seeing, your eyes, yeah, he didn't actually freeze. He was just, you know, taking in the applause of the audience. I want to run against that guy, Joe Biden. And so according to the DNC, look, this is really the article on Breitbart. And of course, things can change. I've been steadfast that maybe it's not Joe Biden, but it's not some of the scarier predictions. I'd say scary. Michelle Obama would be scary to run against, right? It sounds like it's going to be Biden. Now, that things could change tomorrow. He could bomb in the debate on Thursday. They could say, no, we can't. But we're going to talk about that story now. We're also going to go into, because yesterday, you know, I got to say, anybody here still on Getter? You guys in the chat, guys and gals in the chat, still on Getter? That platform is kicking ass right now. In terms of maybe not amount of users, every time I post something over there, it gets really good engagement. So yesterday's show is currently right now being circulated like crazy on Getter about Jake Tapper. So we're going to do, look, what the people want, the people get. We love the people. We love the people. Only the beautiful people, though. If you're not a beautiful person, we don't want to see you. That means Joy Reid is out. Joy Reid is completely out. AOC is also out. We're going to talk more about Jake Tapper, Dana Bash, the moderators coming up. And one of the debate moderators' husbands, which, of course, leaves it up to two, right? Wait, Jake Tapper has a husband? Well, probably not, but you never know.
Gay.
Right? Why are you gay? You are gay. You are transgender. Happy Pride Month to Jake Tapper, of course, if he's celebrating. I don't know. Sounds like it's Dana Bash's husband, who is one of the 51 Intel agents who lied about Hunter Biden's laptop. Yeah, okay, this debate's going to be fair. It's going to be fair. Judge Mershon basically lifting the gag order. About 75% of the gag order is gone. And so Donald Trump could talk about the judge. He could talk about Stormy. He could talk about Cohen. So he's effectively ungagged for the debate, which is a good thing. I'm not saying the judge, you know, is trying to do Trump any favors, but at least he's ungagged for that. So if that topic does come up, Donald Trump can answer it and answer it in full. We got that. By the way, you know what today is?
What?
It's primary day in New York.
Oh, yeah.
In the state of New York. And apparently, did you see? I don't have the clips. I didn't want to subject you to this. AOC bouncing around the stage at that Bronx rally where, I don't know, five people were there, right? You know, you had Trump at the Bronx. It was packed. Thousands upon thousands of people. AOC, Jamal Bowman, Bernie Sanders. What'd they have? 200, 300 people in the Bronx? So apparently, Jamal Bowman is trailing in the polls to his Democrat primary challenger. So Jamal Bowman tomorrow may be out of a job. He'll finish out the rest of the term, but it's a shame. Maybe you could pull the fire alarm again and keep your replacement from taking office. Maybe you could do that. Fire Marshal, the great Will Johnson yesterday, his title of the show, Fire Marshal Bowman. That was one of the most embarrassing scenes I think I've ever seen out of somebody's, you know, in Congress, and obviously AOC's in Congress too, bouncing around the stage, swinging a stool around, rapping. The guy's completely unhinged. He's obviously nervous. He thinks he's going to lose. So he may lose today. We may have to make a phone call to Jamal Bowman. This is your favorite president. I have to say that. Your favorite. And I heard you lost. You know, something I'm not used to. I don't lose, but you lose. You lost, and now you have to probably pull the fire alarm, and maybe you're going to delay. You know, delaying the official proceeding, you'll delay. So we'll see what happens to Bowman tonight. I'm hoping he loses because I'd love to take that victory lap on Jamal Bowman. Speaking of Jamal Bowman, the Bronx, these blue areas, Donald Trump, another poll. Look, you know, we talk about how pollsters, polling firms have their biases. Rasmussen just came out with a general election poll. Donald Trump up 10 points. I don't believe he's up 10 points. And even if he was up 10 points, I would tell all of you not to believe it. Act as if it's a one-point race, because it probably is. You got a bunch of illegals who are getting voter registration forms right now, okay? Well, they won't vote in elections. It's illegal. They cross the border illegally. What? They don't care about the law. They don't care about the law, right? Act as if it's a one-point race. But my point is not to crap all over Rasmussen, because they're a good pollster, right? That every pollster has their biases. CBS, YouGov, these polls don't want to show good things for Donald Trump. They don't want to find those results. You know that. They skew, and I say skew generously, they lean very heavily to the left in many of these cases. Donald Trump with a very large number relative to what Republican presidential candidates normally garner of black support. This is a big deal, okay? When you go into these major population centers, specifically in the swing states, Atlanta, Georgia, Detroit, Michigan, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Minneapolis and St. Paul and Minnesota, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Las Vegas, Nevada, Phoenix, Arizona, Richmond, Virginia. You know, all of these major population centers where you deal with the inner city vote, heavy black population. Well, when you start siphoning larger portions of that away, it makes it harder for the Democrats to win that race statewide, i.e. Donald Trump with an electoral college advantage, potentially, shaping up right now, thanks to minority support. We have that as Donald Trump leads in a new poll out of the state of Georgia. Again, a poll that was conducted by an outlet and a pollster that does not want to find good things for Donald Trump. The reason why I like to look at, you know, you could easily take a victory lap. Rasmussen, Donald Trump up 10. This is great. Yeah, but we know they're a friendly pollster. I like when unfriendly pollsters find good things for us, because if they're left-leaning data and left-leaning data sets and the way their polls are structured to skew and to lean heavily to the left are still finding encouraging signs for us, we know what they're telling us is the worst case scenario, and that's pretty darn good for Donald Trump right now. Another one about RFK. Brennan, we talk about RFK. Who is RFK going to hurt more in the general election, Trump or Biden?
Joe Biden.
And one of the reasons why we say that is obviously his name is Kennedy. That's a Democrat legacy name, not to be confused with Senator John Kennedy in Louisiana, who is obviously the exception to that rule. President Biden, right? I love it. President Biden's approval rating is lower than fungal infections. He said that on live TV the other day. He did. And then this is just hysterical. Look, if the guy would just pull his head out of his ass on Ukraine, he'd be one of my favorite senators. But he's a little with the Ukraine hockey. Everything else is pretty good, though, especially when he grills judicial nominees. RFK will take more from Biden. We have ironclad proof of that coming up at the end of the show. And a UN study, the UN, United Nations, they have not been nice to Israel. A UN study, again, I love looking at people who are doing these studies, looking into things, hoping to find one thing, and of course, finding the other. Yep. So we'll get to this UN study about the Israel-Hamas conflict towards the end of the show. It'll prove all the idiots, and I say idiots, and I don't mean it in a nice way. You know, somebody, you idiot, what an idiot, you know? I'll look at Trump, he'll say something stupid on TV, and by stupid, I mean funny. I'm like, this guy's such an idiot. It's just great. In a term of endearment? No. I mean, idiots who hate Jews. You know, Jake Shields, the CTE Nazi, right? He's gotten his head smashed in mixed martial arts 1,000 times. Now he doesn't know up from down. Nick Fuentes, who is, if you follow Nick Fuentes, he is a Fed, folks, I think. Fuentes, okay? Now all of a sudden, I don't know if I can vote for Trump because he likes Israel. Oh, all of a sudden, you're going to start to sow discord? On the right, Nick Fuentes. Okay, please, get out of the way. All right, go get kicked out of another convention that you knew you weren't going to get allowed in. He's a liberal, the kid, essentially. He goes places to get kicked out of the places and then fake outrage. They don't want me in here. Yeah, because you're a jerk. You're basically a Nazi. When you talk about white nationalists and then this kid's face is plastered all over the place, you're telling me that's not a psyop? Just like Jake Lang, folks. If I see one more post about Jake Lang, I'm gonna lose my mind. You mean to tell me that there is a J6 political prisoner operating a militia called Napalm out of a federal penitentiary, and the government is okay with that? They're not trying to stop it? Folks, stop looking under every rock. Stop looking around every corner for the psyop, and just look in front of you. Holy crap! Okay, so you got a guy who is permanently delaying, not permanently, purposefully delaying his pretrial hearings, then lying to the people saying, I'm being held without trial. You're delaying it. Forms a militia. He calls it that. I'm not calling it that. He's calling it that. Calls it napalm. Goes on podcasts out of the jail, and the government is fine with this. Why is the federal government allowing Jake Lang to be the mouthpiece for January 6th? Is anybody going to ask that question? Anybody? The guy is a total fraud. I'm so tired of watching good people get duped by this guy. I've gotten so many people now. I saw a friend of mine. He sent me, look at this interview with Jake Lang. And I said, listen, I love you, bud. But this guy's completely bad news. And I sent them all up with Tim Hill. All the receipts, and he's like, I'm out of his Telegram group. I'm done. Good. Thank goodness. The guy is a disaster, and he's going to get people in trouble. All right. We got all that. It's all good stuff. ladies and gentlemen, and I see TPH14, Kyle Serafin pegged that right off the bat. I know people before Kyle Serafin talked about, and I like, you know, Kyle's good. He's done a good job. He's some issues I don't agree with him on, but you know, he's done a good job. Whatever, free speech. I don't care. You want to say maybe Kyle, and now people think Kyle Serafin's a fail. Whatever, okay? But Kyle was right about Jake. He was 100% right about Jake, but I've known about this stuff about Jake for a long time. People we talk to, and we've had the receipts on Jake, and now it's time to expose it because people are going to get hurt, okay, and entrapped. So we have that. We got a bunch of good stuff, ladies and gentlemen, a bunch of really good stuff. Today we're going to have fun at the expense of course, Jake Tapper. We hate Jake Tapper. The guy's a complete and total disgrace. We got that. So much to get to. Before we get to all that, I want to get to a word from our friends over at OFP Farms. Look at this. The Outlaw Soap. Take a look at that. You got the Outlaw Soap right there. Look at this. Donald Trump's mugshot on a bar of soap. Nothing says being clean like smelling like an outlaw, right? And nobody smells as good as this outlaw. We're the greatest outlaw, the best in the world. Nobody's ever done a better job. So you got the Outlaw Soap, you got the We the People Soap, the We the People Goat Kisses Lip Balm. Ladies and gentlemen, this stuff right here. OFP Farms created it out of frustration with what's going on in our country, but also out of love for our constitutional republic. That is all at OFPFarms.com. This is the We the People line of soaps and lotions and lip balms, and this is the early roster here. So, of course, the Outlaw Soap. They've always had the Outlaw Soap, but now they're putting Trump's face on it. They're donating to the Trump campaign profits from these soaps here. So you could be a part of that. OFPFarms.com, Oscar Foxtrot, PapaFarms.com. You know the hate mail they're getting over soap? Could you imagine? That's how you know the left doesn't like the shower. OFP Farms is getting hate over soap, and that soap is tricked. Don't use it. You got Donald Trump's face on soap. You're in a cult. Shut up. Would you please? And just either use the soap or don't use the soap, but don't send our friends hate mail, okay? OFPFarms.com, promo code LFA for 15% off of your entire order at checkout. Some people don't use the promo code because they want to support OFP Farms and Donald Trump a little bit more. That's up to you. OFPFarms.com, promo code LFA for 15% off. Next up is the LFA TV store, which is down, but it is going to be up in just, a few days. It's supposed to come back online in July, which unbelievably is next week. Could you believe July is next week? Could you believe half of the year is over in 7 days? Could you believe that? Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? So that is the LFA TV store coming back in July, rebuilt, stronger, better, faster than ever. And here you have the LFA TV website. I want to encourage you, while the store is down, to head over to the Donate tab on the LFA TV website. That's lfatv.us. Click on the Donate tab. You see all of this here. You can help Jeremy Harrell, LFA TV, the entire mission, lfatv.us/donate or jeremyharrell.com/donate as well. If you would like to contribute over there, that would be greatly appreciated. That's lfatv.us/donate or jeremyharrell.com/donate. All right, ladies and gentlemen, hit the thumbs up button. Hey, if you're watching and you saw the link from Getter, let me know in the live chat. Brennan will let me know if there's any Getterites in the live chat, because I don't know what's going on that platform. But I post a video, I post links, and it's getting amazing engagement over there. So I'm not done. I like posting over there. SpaceX is launching in 5 minutes. Very good. Okay. That's great. They're launching rockets. We're talking about Joe Biden and the baby. They're launching rockets, you know. All right. Good luck, Elon. All right. Let's get right to it. Folks, hit the thumbs up button. Make sure you're following this channel, rumble.com/LFATV. Let's get to this story out of the DNC. I know there have been a lot of wild predictions. We obviously put nothing past the Democrats. Nothing is set in stone. But this is the story out of the DNC on Breitbart. The DNC plans to nominate Joe Biden ahead of the convention to silence protesters and end the replacement candidate debate. So clearly, all of our speculation, who is it going to be? Is it going to be Biden? Is it going to be Michelle Obama? Is it going to be Newsom? Is it going to be Andy Beshear, Josh Shapiro, Andrew Cuomo, Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren? Who is it going to be? Right? It's going to be Joe Biden, according to this article on Breitbart. Now, let me tell you why they're doing this. I don't think it's necessarily as much of it's us making noise and them kind of getting upset that we're undermining them and, oh, you know, who's going to be the nominee. There is a deadline, according to this article, in the state of Ohio, okay? There's a deadline in the state of Ohio, which I believe is August 7th, okay? August 7th, Thursday saw 360 Democratic National Committee members officially support, quote, an all-virtual roll call vote, marking progress in the effort to nominate Biden before the convention, while only two people voted against it, according to the Tennessee Lookout. The DNC's Credentials Committee and the Rules Committee will next need to adopt their reports to allow the virtual roll call to take place before the convention. An Ohio law mandating, remember, nobody's above the law, unless, of course, unless you are a rioter at Columbia University. Did you guys hear about this? Just an aside. I hate doing this, but I want to address it. So Alvin Bragg spent the better part of a year, right, after the indictment of Donald Trump last April, into this April when the trial began, into May when the conviction was handed down, going after Donald Trump. Alvin Bragg spent the better part of a year and even longer than that to obviously impanel a grand jury and you know, have this indictment handed down. Alvin Bragg, Manhattan District Attorney, funded by George Soros, won his election with 87% of the vote, has been focused 100% on getting Donald Trump. You have actual rioters that destroyed property, basically took hostages for a point in time at Columbia University, maintenance workers getting trapped inside of buildings that were overrun by these rioters. Windows were broken, vandalism all over the place, violence, altercations with police. We're told when you're talking about January 6th and all that, nobody is above the law, except in New York City, because Alvin Bragg dropped the charges against these violent rioters at Columbia University. You know what they said? Well, we couldn't tell who they were because they were wearing masks. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? The same way that the federal government tracked down where people were on January 6th, you know, the cell phone. You couldn't tell me who was inside of Hamilton Hall when they shouldn't have been inside of Hamilton Hall. You're telling me that a mask over somebody's face is preventing you from bringing charges against them? Well, hold on. Because you charged the people and then you dropped the charges. How did you know who to charge if them wearing masks made it impossible to, you know, conduct and go through this entire process? How'd you know who to charge? Why were charges brought in the first place? Because they were wearing a mask. There are people wearing masks in January 6th. Sedition hunters went out there and picked them frame by frame to find out who these people were. Now, it's bullcrap. You're above the law if you're a radical left-wing animal who hates Jews and hates the United States of America. Alvin Bragg, nobody's above the law. Well, we'll get back to this story. An Ohio law mandating parties have their nomination process completed 90 days before the election, or August 7th, contributed to the virtual maneuver for the DNC. Missing the deadline would mean missing the ballot in November in the state of Ohio. Okay, so in other words, in Ohio, if your candidate is not nominated outside of 90 days before the election, that candidate does not show up on the presidential ballot, okay? So when an Ohio voter goes into their polling place on November 5th, if Joe Biden is nominated on the date of their convention, which I believe is August 19th, according to Ohio law, he's not allowed to be on the ballot. So the Democrats, the DNC, need to do something before then and before August 7th. So now they're planning on doing what they did during COVID and doing a virtual nomination. Missing the deadline means missing the ballot in November. Since the convention does not begin until August 19th, Biden would not appear on the ballot in Ohio if the party were to wait until the formal convention. Ohio lawmakers were tasked to agree on a remedy in a special legislative session that commenced in May, but they were unable to come to a deal due to attachments that Republicans sought, according to the Chicago Sun-Times. Listen, I'm very happy in Ohio that the Republicans in that state legislature did not bend over backwards and take it up the rear end from the Democrats to appease the Democrats when they were out of accordance with Ohio law anyway. So now it's forcing them to do a virtual nomination. And according to this article from Breitbart, it is going to be Joe Biden. The DNC's move provides benefits beyond getting Biden on the ballot in the Buckeye State. It also helps to mitigate potential protests during the critical roll call vote and can potentially put to rest conversations about a replacement candidate for Biden sooner rather than later, especially if he has a poor debate showing this week. Now, I still think they're looking at this debate. I don't think it's all said and done, but Joe Biden's got the campaign infrastructure going. He's raising money. The ads are out. He's all in, okay? At this point in time, it is more likely than not that Joe Biden is going to be the nominee on November 5th. Now, they could nominate Joe Biden virtually, and they're going to do a for show vote at the convention, kind of, you know, just so they get the fanfare and the cameras and all that type of stuff, right? But the nomination is going to be done one way or the other, whether it's Biden or anybody else, before their convention. Because if they do it on the date of their convention, their candidate does not make the ballot in the state of Ohio because of Ohio's laws. A virtual roll call vote before the convention is highly significant. A roll call vote is when every state's delegation announces the delegate share each candidate won in the state. It's often high energy, can be contentious or unifying depending on the circumstances of the convention. During in-person roll call votes, cameras pan towards the crowd and document the cheers and the boos when different candidates are awarded delegates. They also capture intra-party conflict, which, depending on how severe it is, can cause optics of a fractured or divided party in the aftermath of a convention. This happened in 2016 with Trump, although he was able to secure the nomination there. A spokesperson for the Democratic National Committee confirmed that the 2024 roll call will revive elements of the virtual 2020 roll call across America, with final format decisions over the virtual and live components still to be made. Having the official roll call vote ahead of the convention and potentially heavily relying on virtual aspects for a ceremonial roll call vote at the convention would offer the Democrat Party a heightened level of control over the convention's optics. So they're terrified of the protests. They're terrified of all of the potential intra-party fighting. They're going to nominate Joe Biden. Now, does that mean it's 100% that Joe Biden's going to be the nominee on November 5th? No. A lot of things can happen. Number one being Joe Biden can still decide he's going to step down, right? They can nominate him. We can get to the convention and he could step down at the convention conceivably. Now, I don't know what that does for the Ohio and if a candidate steps down, if there's a special provision, et cetera, et cetera. But it is now more likely than not that Joe Biden will be the nominee. I know we're not breaking a huge story here, but a lot of people there's been a lot of conjecture around two things surrounding the 2024 election. Actually, three things, really. Okay. Number one, who is Trump's running mate going to be? We're going to be finding out soon. Number two, is Joe Biden going to be the Democrat nominee? And number three, how many illegals are going to vote? Because you know that's what the Democrats want. Now we look at the debate. Let's look at this debate, the debate coming up, and the conflict of interest that is just all over the place here in this debate. Number one, and we know there was a poll that came out shortly after the 2020 election, and there are a number of ways that the 2020 election was, of course, stolen, right? A number of ways. Mail-in ballots, some people think machines. I look less to the machines. I'm not saying the machines are perfect. They're not. I want paper ballots. I want hand counting 100%. Okay? I certainly do. Maybe they use the machines to count the votes because, you know, there's so much DEI now, people can't count past 10. I don't know. It's possible. But there are a number of ways that the 2020 election was stolen. I believe the mail-in ballot system was completely and totally abused, and I think that was the number one contributor to the steal. Number two, the Hunter Biden laptop story was dismissed as Russian disinformation. Remember, 51 intel agents and officials say it's a Russian hack and leak operation. Social media platforms censored the story, took down people who posted about the story, made sure that this story did not see the light of day. Joe Biden on the debate stage, when Donald Trump pressed him on it, called it garbage. He called it garbage. And CNN contributed to that. But even worse, do you guys know this? Jake Tapper's husband, I'm just kidding, Dana Bash's husband, is one of the intel agents that signed that letter. CNN debate moderator's husband, which again, doesn't rule out Jake Tapper. I'm just kidding. Jeremy Bash, the former husband of Dana Bash, is one of the 51 intel agents who lied to the American people about the Hunter Biden laptop being Russian disinformation. So Dana Bash was married to one of the intel agents who played a role in arguably illegally influencing the 2020 election. Now, we know it's not about outrage. It's not about how could we let this go on, because Donald Trump knows this. He knows that he's going up against three people on Thursday. Jake Tapper, Dana Bash. We're really two and a half people. Jake Tapper, Dana Bash, and Joe Biden. But I want to show you something, okay? Jake Tapper and Dana Bash, they're not just biased against Donald Trump. We know that, okay? The thing is, they're not going to hide their bias. They're not going to hide it. Here's a couple of things. Jake Tapper, 15 times that Jake Tapper attacked Donald Trump with vicious claims. He suggested Trump was a nightmare for tens of millions of our fellow Americans. Their long national nightmare is over when Donald Trump, quote unquote, lost. He claimed Trump, quote, continues to lie to the American people about the coronavirus testing. He retweeted a post that called Donald Trump 100% insane. He shamed Donald Trump upon being hospitalized for the coronavirus. Okay, so Jake Tapper wants you to believe that COVID is serious, but then when Donald Trump went in the hospital, he shamed him for it. Nice guy. He's a moderator in a debate. Described Donald Trump's presidency as a disaster. Ran a segment about the alleged shape of Donald Trump's package. That's a true story. He ran a segment on CNN about a book or something that Stormy Daniels released about Donald Trump's ding-dong. This is a true thing. Questioned the 2016 election by pushing the Russian collusion hoax. Suggested Donald Trump tried to kill democracy. Ordered CNN's control room not to cover Trump live. Do you guys remember this? When Donald Trump was in that Cuban cafe after the Miami indictment? If you don't remember it, watch Jake Tapper hyperventilating over the fact that, oh no, Donald Trump may actually be popular with a lot of people, specifically minorities. Look,
national security laws. And then obstructing and refusing to cooperate with the FBI.
Whatever this spectacle is that's unfolding before us, let's remember what this case is about. Let's remember what this indictment charges. Again, Donald Trump is charged with a series of federal felonies for mishandling the most sensitive government documents that we have and for obstruction of justice, along with Walt Nauta, who is charged with intentionally setting up lies to the grand jury, to the FBI. Any way you look at this, and again, despite whatever may be going on in that restaurant, this case isn't going to be settled legally in a cafe. It's going to be settled in the court based on the facts and law.
The folks in the control room, I don't need to see any more of that. He's trying to turn it into a spectacle, into a campaign ad. That's enough of that. We've seen it already. Let's go over again the 37 charges.
Yeah, the control room. We don't want to see any more of that. Why?
Oh, he's trying to turn it into it.
Yeah, he is trying to turn it into something positive for him because it's ridiculous. That's a guy who's going to be moderating the debate. This guy,
the
too.
The dehumanizing rhetoric of Adolf Hitler is once again alive and well on a national political stage. This time, of course, in the United States.
Donald Trump, a couple times over the weekend, referred to immigrants from South America, Africa, and Asia. He did not mention Europe. South America, Africa, and Asia, as, quote, poisoning the blood of our country, which it's not hyperbole. That does very directly echo Adolf Hitler's language before World War II.
If you were to open up a copy of Hitler's Mein Kampf, you would find the Nazi leader describing the mixing of non-Germans with Germans as poisoning. There's really no other way to say it. Donald Trump's language mirrors this directly.
Yeah, okay. Donald Trump is Hitler, according to Jake Tapper. He's going to be, of course, a moderator at the debate. Remember? And Jake Tapper, when he was completely shocked that there were anti-Semites on the left like AOC and Rashida Tlaib.
These last few days have been a real eye-opening period for a lot of people, a lot of Democrats, a lot of progressives, in terms of anti-Semitism on the left.
Oh my gosh. There's anti-Semitism on the left? Where the hell have you been? When, like, honestly, I need to ask, like, we've all seen it. You guys have to have seen it. Jake Tapper, Dana Bash, and we haven't gotten to Dana Bash yet, whose former husband was one of the 51. Dana Bash, 15 times attacked Trump with nasty claims. Accused Trump of race baiting. Suggested Trump is sexist. Claimed Trump has made anti-Semitic remarks. Anti-Semitic remarks! This is the guy who moved the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem. Abraham Accords. At peace in the Middle East. Very friendly with Israel. Donald Trump is anti-Semitic. Could you imagine? This is it. This isn't the other moderator. Alleged former President Mike Pence's life was threatened by January 6th rioters. Said Trump's coronavirus briefing was propaganda. Accused Trump of being anti-science. Anti-science! This coming from the people who believe men can get pregnant. Donald Trump is anti-science. Okay. Nice. Alleged Donald Trump politicized the pandemic for political benefit. Claimed Joe Biden found his voice after he attacked Trump's remarks on George Floyd's death. Pushed the Russian collusion hoax just like Jake Tapper. Suggested that Trump was unpresidential during his tenure. Oh, what a shame. Described Trump's firing of James Comey as a scene from The Godfather. Accused Trump of outright lies. Said Trump appeared to use racist language against Senator Mitch McConnell's wife. We call her Coco Chow. You know that. She's from China. Suggested Donald Trump should say sorry for his alleged role in January 6th. Well, not until you say sorry for your role in the Hunter Biden laptop, your former husband. Oh, and the Russian collusion hoax. Oh, and finally, said it was unfortunate that Donald Trump is going to be on the ballot. Remember when the Supreme Court overruled Colorado? Here's Dana Bash saying, oh, it's unfortunately for America, they got it right.
Justices are in a bubble, and they're not dealing with, I mean, when they say, oh, Congress can do this. There are members of Congress, and we can go through the list, who are never going to do anything that would make life difficult for Donald Trump. So to think that the Congress is going to solve this, they barely can get a post office name these days.
It's true. I mean, yeah. And you can go down the list of Supreme Court decisions that kicked whatever issue over across the street over to Congress, whether it is, Obamacare, which is something that the Democrats were very happy about when they did that, a little bit of a different kind of court. Voting rights, I think, is maybe the primary example of what you're saying before this. Look, unfortunately for America, the court isn't necessarily wrong.
Unfortunately for America, the court's not wrong to allow Donald Trump on a presidential ballot. So this is a guy who they say is a threat to democracy when you have Dana Bash and Jake Tapper doing everything in their power, and they haven't moderated the debate yet, but they're going to influence democracy and allow people to vote after being given an incomplete set of facts. And they did it in 2020. Dana Bash, Jake Tapper, those are your debate moderators. Or shall I say, master debaters. As Dan Pongino says, you don't want to say the words master debaters too quickly because it turns into something that, you know, we don't really need to be talking about, right? Master debate moderators. Okay, now, Judge Mershon has lifted the gag order. This is pretty good news. Now, I'm not giving pats on the back to the judge, but about 75% of this gag order has been removed. Mershon said it's been his strong preference to continue barring Trump from commenting about jurors whose names have not been made public, but he could not justify doing so. The judge did leave in place a separate order prohibiting Trump and his lawyers from disclosing the identities of individual jurors or their addresses. That's fine. Trump lawyer Todd Blanche said after the verdict, the defense team has destroyed that information. There's ample evidence to justify continued concern for the jurors, Mershon wrote. He also left in place a ban on Trump commenting about court staffers, the prosecution team, and their families until he is sentenced, writing that they must continue to perform their lawful duties free from threats, intimidation, harassment, and harm. Those restrictions do not prohibit Trump from commenting about the judge himself or district attorney Alvin Bragg. So the teeth of the gag order, those teeth are gone. They're like Nancy Pelosi's teeth. No more teeth. Like Hunter Biden's teeth when he did crack. They're gone. All of the most restrictive elements of that gag order are gone ahead of the debate, which is a good thing. I'm not saying thank you to Judge Mershon. There shouldn't have been a gag order in the first place. What I'm saying is Yes, it's only 75% or so of the gag order that has been eliminated, but the most important aspects of the gag order have been nullified, which is a good thing for Donald Trump. So just know that. This is not saying, you know, that the judge is some sort of fair guy. No. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is the most restrictive and significant portions of that gag order that we could not stand during that Trump trial have been lifted 2 days ahead of the presidential debate, which is inherently a good thing. It's not all of it. I know it's not perfect, but it's inherently a good thing that at least those aspects of the gag order are no longer in place. Okay, we celebrate the small things there. And we're not giving pats on the back to the judge. I'm not saying the judge did this because the judge is being fair. To have this gag order in place well after the trial is already over, deliberations have already concluded for a while, was ridiculous. All right, we got to get to a word from our friends over at Colonial Metals Group. Before we do that, I want to ask if you could hit the thumbs up button for us here on rumble.com/LFATV. This thing, this show is flying by today. I feel like I've been live for 5 minutes. We're already three quarters of the way through the show. Hit the thumbs up button for us, folks. Share the show everywhere if you can. Well, I understand 4th of July is around the corner. People are kind of tuning out. We can't tune out. You can't do that. Do you think the Democrats ever tune out? Of course not. Share this show with all of your friends. Make sure they're hitting the thumbs up button. Follow us anywhere you get your podcasts. All right. Colonial Metals Group. We love Colonial Metals Group. We heard from their CEO last week on Thursday. ColonialMetalsGroup.com. ColonialMetalsGroup.com. Many of us believe having a substantial percentage of your financial future secured with gold and silver is a great idea. That is why LFA TV decided to partner with our sponsor, Colonial Metals Group. They will help you set up a safe and secure self-directed IRA where you'll all have access to your assets no matter what the stock market or, for that matter, the government is doing. Let the team of experts at ColonialMetalsGroup.com help you protect your family's future. They've put together a special offer for the audience. Click on the link in the description below, or you can call the special 800 number and you'll receive a safe and up to $10,000 in free silver. It's a lot of money. That number is 888-688-1215, or you can go to ColonialMetalsGroup.com/LFA. That is ColonialMetalsGroup.com/LFA. ColonialMetalsGroup.com/LFA. It's one of the best ways, of course, to hedge against inflation. Gold, silver, precious metals. Nobody better than Colonial Metals Group if you're interested in getting into precious metals to hedge against inflation or make a couple of those investments. All right, let's get to the next order of business here on the show, and that is going to be Donald Trump shifting a significant portion of minority voters away from the Democrats. Here is a new poll, again on Breitbart. This is a poll, this is not Rasmussen. Breitbart did not conduct this poll, okay? CBS News YouGov conducted this poll. Donald Trump at nearly 23% among black voters. A CBS News/YouGov poll published this week shows former President Donald Trump making gains with black voters with support at 23%, nearly double from 2020. And that has been, that is also showing Donald Trump leading, by the way, by 1 point. That is unchanged since CBS News and YouGov's last poll between June 5th and June 7th. Black voters, Donald Trump gains 23% of black voters. Okay? Now, Joe Biden leads among black people 75 to 23. You may say, well, that's still a huge gap. Yes, but it used to be nearly a 90 or 88 point lead among black voters for Joe Biden. Now it's only a 50 point lead. Ladies and gentlemen, that margin has been cut in half. And even more significant, it's not just that the margin has been cut in half, but the folks, the black voters that voted for Joe Biden, whatever it was, 90 to 8, whatever it was, okay, in 2020. If it's now 75, let's just call it 75-25, right? And we use round numbers. To go from 8 percentage points to 25 percentage points. That's nearly, that's over tripling his support. And it's not just that he's tripling his support among a group. It's a group that has been voting for Democrats and for Joe Biden. So Biden loses that vote. Trump gains that vote. That margin is cut in half, but it's actually more significant than that because this is a 2-point swing for Donald Trump. Do you understand what I'm saying? If I'm voting for Brennan and not whoever else is in the chat, right? If Brennan's running for president and it's Brennan versus Mo, okay? And I voted for Mo in 2020 because I didn't know Brennan yet.
How dare you?
But now I'm voting for Brennan in 2024, right? Mo loses one, Brennan gains one. That is a 2-vote swing. That's what's happening among these minority voters. Hispanic voters, black voters, female voters, Asian voters, Jewish voters. And so you see these polls now, they're starting to reflect that. Now, this debate is being held in Georgia, okay? In Atlanta, Georgia, CNN's headquarters down there. And the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, again, not a friend of Republicans, not a friend of Donald Trump, is now showing Donald Trump leading Joe Biden by 5 points in the state of Georgia, ahead of the Atlanta debate. We are also now a significant, almost a month. We're now almost a month removed from the conviction. And the polling hasn't really changed one way or the other. Which means now, to me, the results of that conviction were baked into the polls to begin with. Nobody cares. And Donald Trump at this debate needs to come out. When they talk about you're a convicted felon, or they talk about January 6th, or they talk about abortion, or they talk about the 2020 election, Donald Trump needs to come out and say, listen, you want to bring up all those issues from the past. I want to talk about America's future. I want to talk about the issues that voters are currently dealing with today. The voter who is watching this debate right now, who is eating dinner that was priced unbelievably high. Donald Trump needs to make that connection with these voters in the debate. That's what he's got to do. I love it. Look, listen to me, folks. This is going to be unpopular. I get it. It's going to be an unpopular thing to say. Okay? Folks, our audience, we all love when Donald Trump makes those quick-witted remarks, right? Oh, it's great. Oh, you'd be in jail. We love that. You'd be in jail. But it's more than us. It's about more than what we want. We're all voting for him, regardless, right? We're all voting for him regardless of what he does in the debate, okay? It's the people in the middle who are watching CNN for this debate. Some of these people get their news from CNN. Understand the mindset here. I like when Donald Trump makes those quick-witted remarks. You like when Donald Trump makes those quick-witted remarks. I think it's funny. I think it's brilliant. But not everybody is like me and you. For the folks that are going to be watching this CNN debate, who are moderates, maybe they supported Nikki Haley. Maybe they supported Dean Phillips. Right? They feel like they're politically homeless. And they're eating dinner, or they had just finished eating dinner before the debate. And they know that what they just paid to feed themselves, feed their family, was dramatically, dramatically more expensive now, the night of the debate, than it was 4 years ago, the night of the last debate. These are the things that Trump needs to stick to. That's why I say, you know what, the fact that they're going to cut his mic when he's not talking, I think that actually might be a good thing. I love the guy to death. I love when he says the funny stuff. That's why I love watching Trump rallies. That's what that's for. Donald Trump needs to make a positive impression. I'm not saying to be presidential. I'm not saying to not speak his mind when it's his time to talk. I'm saying when they try to bait him, this is what they're going to try to do. The moderators, we know they're working against Trump. We highlighted that in the first half of the show. The moderators of CNN, right? Jake Tapper, Dana Bash. those two moderators plus Joe Biden are going to try to trip up Donald Trump and distract him and get him talking about January 6th, get him talking about 2020 election, whether or not it was stolen. None of that matters. None of it matters on that stage. The only thing that matters on that debate stage are the issues that voters are currently dealing with today. Inflation, the economy, the border, the amount of violent crime that is pouring over the border and taking away children from their mothers. That's what needs to be talked about. And the moderators aren't going to want to go down that route, but Donald Trump can steer it back towards talking about what's actually important. Yes, election integrity is important. Yes, debunking the nonsense insurrection narrative about January 6th is important, but not on the debate stage. People want to see who is going to be the better choice for president of the United States. And if Donald Trump can just connect with voters and say, hey, to those of you who are sitting at home, you just ate dinner, go look at your receipt. How much more was dinner 4 years ago? How much more was dinner tonight than it was 4 years ago? That's what he's got to do. I'm not saying to tame him. I'm not saying you want to neuter Donald Trump or take his teeth away. That's not what I'm saying. But staying on message in this debate is probably the most important thing that is going to happen this side of the convention. He's got to stay on message. And hopefully he knows that. I think he knows that. He's done a great job up until this point connecting with people. All right. I want to get to this. Here's a great one here. Let me do this one quickly. How do we know that something is working in our favor? Right? RFK. Here we go. RFK, there's a debate about RFK, right? Who's he going to take more votes from, right? Trump or Biden? Trump or Biden? Well, what's a really good indicator to find out who he's actually going to take more votes from? Well, let's look at how the left is reacting, right? Billy Currington theory. When the left is freaking out, we must be doing something right, right? Must be doing something right. That's the song. So let me ask you this question. If RFK, right? If RFK was going to steal more votes from Trump than Joe Biden, do you think the Democrats would want RFK off the ballot? No, of course not. If they think that RFK is a bigger threat to Trump than he is to Joe Biden, they'd be helping RFK get on the ballot. Instead, you see the opposite happening. The Democrats are working to get RFK off of the 2024 ballot in multiple swing states because RFK is a greater threat, a far greater threat to Biden than he is to Trump. That's not to say that he's not going to steal any votes from Trump. He will. But he's going to take a lot more from Joe Biden. And if the opposite was true, the Democrats would be helping RFK get on the ballot. Do you think if Nikki Haley was still, quote unquote, running for president, the Democrats wouldn't be excited? Because they know that she would take more votes from Trump than she would take from Biden. She campaigned being very critical of Biden. She would take more Trump votes than Biden votes. They would be helping her get on the ballot. They are doing everything in their power to kick RFK off the ballot in the swing states because they know that he hurts Biden and the Democrats more than he hurts Trump and the Republicans. You can always tell. You can always tell who it's going to hurt more based off of how the left is reacting. And if they're freaking out about RFK, that means RFK hurts them a lot more than what a lot of polls and a lot of people are leading on. All right. I want to talk to you about our good friends over at AmmoSquared.com, AmmoSquared.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Ammo Squared. We love Ammo Squared. They are a great, great company, an amazing program. I saw a few people in the chat not too long ago saying how much they love Ammo Squared. Look, Ammo Squared will help you stay stocked up on ammunition and help you do that automatically. It's an automated set it and forget it ammo purchasing system. You pick your caliber, set your budget, select a shipping trigger, and that's all you have to do. In 2020, when store shelves were empty and everyone had trouble finding ammo, Ammo Squared customers could get immediate delivery of all of the ammunition that they had stockpiled with just the click of a button. It's a unique way to invest in ammunition. Buy low, dollar cost average over time, then cash out when prices rise, or take delivery and skip the high prices in the market. Ammo Squared only ships factory new ammunition from well-known brands, no manufacturing of ammo, and no reloads. There's no minimum to buy, there's no memberships needed, and no extra fees. You can buy ammo on a small budget and watch it grow over time like an ammo savings account. You can buy less than a box and even less than a single round, fractional rounds of ammo like fractional shares of stock at Robinhood. Ammo adds up over time till it becomes full boxes, and then it becomes shippable. And you get free shipping on all orders valuing over $250. That is AmmoSquared.com, A-M-M-O-Squared.com, AmmoSquared.com. Folks, the UN, I said we were going to get to this. The UN, they're not very happy with Israel. They're all war crimes and Iran's on the Human Rights Council or whatever the hell. We're told there's a genocide, right? It's a genocide in Gaza. Genocide. Well, a UN-linked study found quite the opposite. That there is no famine in Gaza. Interesting. Although the risk remains high, of course. Oh, there might be a famine, but there currently isn't one right now.
But ceasefire now. Ceasefire now.
Okay. Ceasefire now. It's fine. Their whole platform, everything that the left tells you, folks, it's all a lie. Every time. Their whole platform is a lie. It's founded on a lie. It is bolstered by more lies. Everything they tell you is a lie. There's no famine in Gaza. There's no genocide in Gaza. It's all bullcrap. Now you even have a UN-linked study coming out and saying as much as well. That hour flew by, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for watching and listening. As always, we really appreciate it. Will Johnson's coming up next with Culture Wars at 6 p.m. Eastern, Based America with Drew Hernandez at 7 p.m. Eastern, and then Stone Zone with the great Roger Stone at 8 p.m. Eastern. As President Trump says, we will never give up, we will never give in, and we will never, ever surrender. And if all else fails, we will just become ungovernable. Thank you. God bless you. God bless this one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Everybody have a great rest of your Tuesday. Got Twitter Spaces coming up in a couple hours with MAGA Meme Coin. That's sure to be a big one. Special guest joining us tonight on X will be holding that space at 7 p.m. Central Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. That is on X. Make sure that you're following us anywhere you get your podcasts, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Search Ungoverned. Hit subscribe. It's completely free. Head over to Farish Media, F-A-R-A-S-H-Media.com. Sign up for our email list. We send them out at the very least every Monday morning. We're not going to be sending them out this weekend because there's some events coming up. I got some stuff I got to handle, so we're not going to be sending it out, but you'll get one again Monday morning. Thank you so much for watching and listening. As always, make sure you hit that thumbs up button before you leave. Make sure you're following this channel, rumble.com/LFATV. Share it with your friends, of course. Do not tune out. I know there's a holiday coming up. Everyone's kind of getting excited about the 4th of July. I am too, but we're still here. You're all still here. Make sure everybody is locked and loaded. Debate coming up in 2 days. Gonna be a lot of fun. We will see you same time, same place, rumble.com/LFATV, 5 p.m. Eastern for Ungoverned tomorrow. Until then, have a great rest of your night and bang gavel. We'll see you tomorrow evening.